the one that made that motion nor seconded that motion for 6A.
No.
No.
Was not. 6B was me.
Susie, would you like to provide an opening statement on the use of Rule 4.3.2.4?
I don't have Rule
4.3.2.4. I don't know what the rule is. I have a copy of it if you'd like to see it.
Yeah, approach the bench.
You got your Robert's Rules of Order.
You can't read all this stuff
in this paper right there. You can't read this.
Oh, is it up on the board now?
If the precinct chairman fails to function as determined by the county executive committee, the position shall be deemed vacant. If the county chairman or vice chairman fail to function as determined by the county executive committee, the position shall be deemed vacant. I can't see this. Y'all don't understand that.
Okay, so let me re-clarify some things quickly. So there were two votes taken at last meeting. The first was the censure resolution. Since it was the less severe, I put it second on the agenda. The first being the removal of Gary as a precinct officer was first.
Here's what Gary moved that we table this B, wasn't it?
No.
A.
So we table A.
Okay, I thought I heard you say B, sorry.
No.
Okay. So what's this about the chair being vacant?
At the last meeting, Gary was removed from her position as precinct chair. We're debating, all right, whether or not she should be reinstated to her precinct chair.
Okay.
To clarify that rule, I'm just going to paraphrase it. So you're saying that a precinct chair can be removed for cause or failure to perform. What does it say exactly? And who decides failure to perform?
So the rule states a precinct chair can be removed by the executive committee if they, quote, fail to function as determined by the county executive committee. It is a very vague rule. So now the chair will recognize Gary for her defense.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Gary.
According to Robert's Rules of Order, in order to address something that has already been voted on by this panel, we need to be in the form of a motion to redress a previously resolved issue. Previously resolved issue, Parker can verify this by Robert's Rules of Order. This has been a previously resolved issue.
Okay,
and as a result, a motion to redress should be done, and then we have to debate the motion to redress.
Motion to redress.
There's a motion and there is a second.
Motion to redress must be made by somebody that voted in the affirmative with the previous vote.
Okay, I'll make a motion to address.
Redress.
Okay, there is a motion.
Redress, because I was there.
So we're talking about the removal, correct?
Yes, the removal was first.
Technically cannot be. We can't undo that. We can hold an advisory vote.
Yeah. And that is, so we are motioning to redress this issue. If it is sent, therefore the recommendation would be sent to me as chairman, and if we do say she should be reinstated, I will reinstate her with immediate effect.
So I made
Nick, you can roll your eyes on me, but I'll follow the rules, buddy.
I know, just Gary, you're recognizing me.
We would have to vote on that again.
We are going to, there is a motion and we are now entering debate.
Someone said a second.
Yes, it has been motioned and seconded.
Okay.
We are now entering debate on the redress of Oklahoma GOP Rule 4.3.2.4 for Gary Rail. Does anybody want to speak in favor? I guess in this case, in favor would be in favor of reinstating?
In favor of in favor of addressing 6A. That's what we're in favor of, addressing 6A.
Reconsider.
We want to redress that motion.
We need back up to make a recommendation.
Okay.
We're just opening it up.
All those in favor of redressing this, please signify by saying, yes, Mr. Chairman.
Aye.
It's a debatable motion. It needs to be debated.
Is there debate on the motion to redress?
Yes, there is.
Okay, Gary, you're recognized.
Do we have any pros, Mr. Chairman? We have no pros to redress this?
I'll debate in pro.
Okay.
Would you like to go first, Gary?
Yes. The reason that I'm opposed to redressing this is because we as a body, as an executive committee, made a decision, right? In that meeting, right, we voted on a motion that Susie made that was seconded to remove her as the precinct chair based on the chairman's interpretation of rule 4.3.2 point whatever it is. And at that time, right, numerous information was provided, right? And so we made a decision. And so if every time we have to make a decision, we have to go backwards and redress a decision because somebody gets disgruntled about something, then we're going to be spinning our wheels and we're not going to be able to take care of any business like we're not able to do tonight.
Is there further debate on this? Bruce, you're recognized.
Yeah, well, I was here on June 2nd.
Yeah.
June 2nd. I was here and I heard what Nick had to say, and I heard what Gary had to say. And based on what they presented, I voted to censure and to remove. But that was all the information we had at that time. Now we have the individual here for a rebuttal, of which I think we ought to give her that opportunity to have that rebuttal. So that's my position.
Chair recognizes Kendra.
Was she made aware of the last meeting that was going to happen at the last meeting?
I will defer to the...
No, I was not. Trey Kirby called and let me know what happened.
Chair recognizes Richard.
I wasn't at the last meeting, but we have a quorum established for the executive committee for the votes.
I was told there wasn't.
It's advisory motion.
Well, we have to go by the quorum, too, so we establish a quorum.
We are checking on that for you.
I was not at the last meeting, but I will say that in my, how many years have you and I been doing this, Melinda? Way too many. To Gary's point, I don't want to have to redress every single thing that the party does or the county does or the executive committee does because life is too short. However, this is an extraordinary action. Or I shouldn't say extraordinary, but extraordinary. And I do think that it does deserve due consideration. And with that, Mr. Chairman, regardless of the status of the last vote, because that's something we can deal with for hours and hours this evening, and I personally don't have any intentions of doing that, I move to call the vote. To be able to open it up so that we can get to the next vote,
yep.
So that we can move this ship down the river.
I can't hear what he said.
You just called the question.
Yep. So the question has been called. All those in favor of redressing this issue, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Nay.
Okay. Then we will be moving forward with that. So in that case, I would like to let Carrie make her statement in her defense.
Okay. Do I refer to you or the audience at Robert's Rules of Order?
Supposed, so maybe stand
in front of
well,
you,
or stand there. Just speak to the general direction.
Be comfortable.
This was mostly to keep people from yelling at each other.
Right. I want to be respectful. So again, I'm the elected chair of Precinct 345, and I did not know of the events that happened last month until I received a phone call. I am absolutely floored that we're here. But unfortunately we are, due to a couple people in our entire party. I never thought that I'd be defending myself against fellow Republicans. That's not what I do at the Capitol. It's not what I do in my 9-to-5. It's usually the other side that comes after me. But according to these two, three people in our party, they have my integrity in question. Although they can't find any rules that I've violated or shame that I've brought onto the party, they're upset that I've aligned with Donald Trump's mission, that he's went on TV on April and said, I quote, "We must treat women with love and compassion, not jail time." And I agree with that. And because of my statement of compassion, we have a couple people in our group that are adamant women must be incarcerated. If they use the morning after pill at 15, because they were raped, or if their baby dies inside of them. They've just gone way too far. And as a Republican and a conservative that acts in grace, I won't be swayed to act this way. That statement is now being used against me to justify a censure. Not because, again, I violated any platform rules.
I would just ask, but we're going to do the censure separate, so stick to why you are qualified to stay as precinct chair.
Okay. Why I'm qualified to stay as precinct chair is, one, I was elected. Nobody else showed up in the entire precinct 345. I'm the only one in precinct 345 that holds events at no cost to the constituents in that district. I go to gas stations, I buy food, and I allow families to eat for free and help them become Republican voters. I don't know too many other people in the precinct position. I should be with Dr. Kish tonight doing what I need to be doing, but unfortunately I'm here defending my platform.
May I ask some questions?
Yes.
You said you attended the precinct meeting. Were you the only one that attended your precinct
yes.
meeting?
For 2 years in a row.
Been there, done that, got all the t-shirts.
Yeah.
Do you have further questions?
Not that I can think of at the moment. Give me a minute.
Okay. Yes, Melinda.
Has she attended Dr. Kish's precinct trainings in the last 2 years?
Yes.
Any other further questions? I'll go Gary first and then Rashar.
I would ask the chairperson to please ask this question of the appellant. After I contacted her to let her know, did she or did she not make the following statement? Being a five-time felon and a cocksucker.
That's not what I said.
That's exactly
what I said.
I said
born again. Born again.
Oh, so that yep. makes it better. Born again cocksucker. Do you feel that you're entitled to repentance and forgiveness but not a menstruating third grader that is raped and using the morning after pill? The entitlement you have is dissociative. I would like to ask the chairman if she had stated that after I had informed her of the meeting.
That's a lie. That's a lie. You never informed me of the meeting, this conversation.
Mr. Chairman, could you please direct the question to the appellant?
You never informed
did
me.
Did she say yes or no?
Never.
Yes or no? Did
never
you say
informed me.
Yes or no?
Yeah.
That's a simple question. Yes or no? Did she say it? My question, Mr. Chairman, was did she say it?
No.
Okay. Your question has been answered. Asked and answered. Yes, Rashar?
Question to you. Are you a...
I'll run
a
through
question
me.
For the chair to ask
yes.
the lady. Is she a good and faithful Republican, and is she pro-life?
Yes.
I'm part of the old school. Words have meaning. Thank you. Words have meaning. So my question is, did she really refer to
he's taking it out
someone in our in a, this group here as a cocksucker?
Yes.
I mean, am I hearing that correctly?
I'm referring to him as a changed gay person. And that's what I've been told by members of our GOP party. He's a five-time felon, served prison time for 5 counts of drug distribution.
And Mr. Chairman, she's reciting slander and libel, and if this,
really?
If this
you
body
told me that's
allows
my face.
To happen,
run
this
the
body's
meeting,
guilty
Jerry,
as well.
Sit.
This body is guilty
my
as well.
Face.
Mr. Chairman, I respect the position of chairman. I will respect somebody that has a spine while they're in that position.
Gary?
Mr. Chairman, you're allowing her to libel me in the presence of other people, and this is a crime.
Then you lied to me, Gary.
Gary?
You lied to my face, buddy.
We will allow
Mr.
people
chairman,
to...
Mr. Chairman, she's out of order again.
She is out of order, Nick.
She's out of order.
I will remind everybody to speak to one another with kind words. Gary, I was going to let you respond. When she had finished her statement, we do not interrupt others. The chair recognizes Lachelle.
I have a couple questions. I want to make a statement. I did see the post that Gary is referring to from that Carrie wrote. I did see that. And I just want to ask if has Carrie, how many conventions, county conventions and state conventions has she went to represent her precinct?
Sure. One, that was not a public, that was not on Facebook. That was a private text message between Gary and I. He chose to make that public.
Okay.
Two, the last convention was my first convention.
Chair recognizes Spalding.
Back to my statement that words have meaning, my question, and I'll apologize for it in advance for my ignorance, but Gary, it's been brought out, and I'm very sorry, we're old family friends, or we're sixth generation Normanites or something like that. We go back a long ways. Are you a felon? Is there any truth to that statement?
That is a bold-faced lie. I don't know where she got it from.
You.
OSC.
I'm just asking.
Everything. Dave, it's a bold-faced lie. The woman is standing up there lying to everybody's face.
Okay, so the answer is no.
No.
I'm just asking.
No.
Truly. I mean, you were wild in your younger days. And so I'm just asking. The answer is no. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for asking that. I really am.
Mr. Chairman, I would ask that any further discussions regarding my history are out of order, and she needs to be removed if she brings it up again. Because it's a civil matter, and this entity will be civilly liable if you allow her to recite lies about me. These are lies. She's nodding her head. Anybody? I'm an open book. I'm a certified public school teacher, for crying out loud. You can't pass background checks. She's laughing. OSBI has passed background checks four different times on me. 4473 background federal firearms checklist. I'm a range safety instructor. Everything about my history. Everybody in this room can verify it. Nobody can verify anything that she has said except that she's a liar.
Gary, you told me you were in jail.
Yeah.
That doesn't make anybody a felon.
Convicted of a felon. Big difference. Big difference. Now, I don't know where she got that from, but whoever told her that's a piece of shit.
Okay. Further conversations about Gary's personal life or this particular message are not germane to this conversation, and we will not continue with them. We are continuing with whether or not Gary is qualified and, in the eyes of this body, capable of discharging the duties as a precinct officer. The chair recognizes, I believe, Spalding.
Well, so, man, we're getting in the weeds. Again, I'm not going to apologize a dozen times. Gary, I should have known. You got your firearm stuff as well. I should have known the answer to that question without asking. And I apologize for that. However, what we're getting at, or what I'm getting at, too, is I'm trying to find her truthfulness with regards to these statements. That's why I wanted to verify for sure, in first person here, the truthfulness of her statement. So, and my argument would be then that some of these personal questions are germane, just because she's made accusations of certain things. All of a sudden, we need to know if it's truth or not. If it's truth, then it's wide open. If it's not, then we have an untruthful person standing in front of us. That's my line of thinking there, if it matters to anyone.
The chairman is going to rule that both parties are pretty dug in on their stance on that particular issue, so please read.
Question.
Yes, you may.
Given the fact that we as a group are a whole bunch of eccentrics, and based on this conversation, I would say fairly dysfunctional, why would you still want to be a part?
No, it's a very, very valid question. Thank you. Our party needs to be saved in Cleveland County. As a second vice chair in the women's club, we're watching numbers dwindle. Families don't want to be a part of the GOP. They don't want to be a part of this mess. We are going to lose the Republican Party in Cleveland County if we can't bring our families, like my children out in the lobby right now, to be raised in the party. We don't bring our kids to church at 18 years old and hope they get baptized, right? We raise them in the church. And if we can't bring them here and raise our family in the party, we will be gone. We are going to hand it right back over to the other side.
Chair recognizes Rashar.
So it seems like to me this is a question of whether she's qualified to do the job. My question to you, to her, is she doing the job? Does she communicate with her precinct? Is she doing what she's supposed to do to fulfill her duties as precinct chair?
I think he's asking you me? Absolutely.
Yeah.
They have to ask the question too, but I'm not.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think anyone in this room can find where I have failed as a precinct chair.
or these are personal attacks.
Bruce?
Since I was at the June 2nd meeting, and at the June 2nd meeting at that time, what was presented to me was that this particular precinct chair wasn't congruent with our platform. And so that's the question I have is, what is it that you guys presented pretty good information, very convincing information, that she wasn't congruent with our platform? And so my question would be, are you pro-life?
100%.
Or do you, pro-life being that the abortion pill should be outlawed and that abortion should be outlawed, or do you have some other philosophy?
Yeah. I would maybe rephrase that question. Is please outline your stance on abortion.
Absolutely. So I believe abortion should be outlawed. I don't think anyone should just be willy-nilly taking anyone's life. We do have, in healthcare, if any of you have had classes in pharmacology, raise your hand.
Mr. Chairman, she should be addressing the chair.
Okay. So with that, there's oral contraceptives. That's Plan A, prevent fertilization. There's Plan B, which also prevents fertilization, and it has to be taken within 7 days of conception. Plan C is what kills a fetus. Plan A and B are just like oral contraceptive. That's what you give a rape victim in the ER. It prevents fertilization. There is no fetus, no egg and sperm creating a fetus. It's biochemistry and it's pharmacology. But unfortunately, all of these medications get confused. So under Dusty Deaver's bill that Gary and Rachel and Heather Boss are upset about, is if you're a 15-year-old that gets raped and you use the morning after pill, they believe that's murder, a murder charge. I won't stand behind that as a Republican, as a healthcare provider, a Christian, or a woman.
Because his name was mentioned, the chair will give Gary the opportunity to make a statement.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I would ask that the chairman ask the appellant if she made this statement. We can't even do abortions in Oklahoma. A doctor would lose their license.
Yeah,
that's true.
Abolitionists are bigots who want women thrown in prison for life and men to procreate irresponsibly and pay for abortions at their leisure. 3% of all bigoted abortionists want women thrown in prison for life and men to procreate. That's basically the same thing she said there. What else?
I think we've
did
got...
Did she make this statement right here? Right here, she posted this for everybody that can see. You should all change your core values and beliefs so I fit in, implicating that that our abolition stand in our first platform value and our last platform plank specifically outlines what ours is. Abortion is fundamentally the pillar upon which we have to build all of our values because it is the value of life. And those values are reflected in our first value and our last platform plank. We even passed the resolution unanimously.
Gary,
as an abolition down.
Do you want me to ask the question if she posted those,
okay,
or do
well,
you want
on.
To go on to his?
Well, I'm going to ask a question of her every single thing that she said to make sure that everybody in this body is fully aware of the vitriol being spewed out by this woman. All right, did she or did she not say, we can't even do abortions in Oklahoma, a doctor would lose their license? Simply yes or no question.
What you fail to acknowledge,
is she yes or no, Mr. Chairman,
is that that's
Chairman, yes or no, Mr. Chairman, yes or no.
Gary,
no, you're not the boss.
Calm down.
Gary.
Let her answer the question as she chooses. Maybe she'll dig herself a bigger hole.
Good.
So one, the Facebook profile is shared between my husband and I. So unless I signed any of those, you can't prove that it was me or my husband. Thank you. Two, you have taken sentences out of statements as like you would scripture, which is wrong. So if you read those comments in its entirety, it would be saying, why would Dusty Deaver's bill be punishing women with murder and not penalizing the doctor for giving an illegal abortion? It's illegal. And two, penalizing the man that pays for the abortion or pushes the woman into an abortion. Let me give you an example. There's a legislator at our Capitol right now, a wonderful Republican, wonderful Republican. Well, in his 20s, he paid for 4 abortions. 4, but he should be granted repentance like Gary. Those women should be up on murder.
That's what that statement was saying.
I'm going to go with Kendra next.
Gary, this does pain me to say this. There were Facebook posts, emails, and letters sent acknowledging some people that Carrie believed came against her. One of that person, no doubt, undoubtedly has been vocal. And those people, sorry. One of the other people was not vocal and had not done anything publicly and was also carried out in that. To me, there's a problem. There's a problem with that. When we're going against our fellow Republicans and accusing them of accusing you, if they haven't. Even standing here talking, I'm waiting to get blasted on Facebook. But I feel like it needs to be said. What are we going to do about that? Because honestly, Carrie, I sat in this room and it was over half the people that were upset. It wasn't two people. It was half the people, and every person had stories. I will not call you out, but every person had stories about different things and different ways that they felt like maybe you weren't as pro-life. And how do we handle that moving forward?
I think one, who in this room is here to deem my worthiness, mm-hmm. right? Raise a hand. Anyone God sent to deem my worthiness through the Republican Party?
I don't think that's a senseless question.
And two, you're talking about Lisa Standard.
No, I'm not. I'm not. Please don't infer who I'm talking about.
But I don't know who else you're talking about, other than who I was told wrote the censure letter.
So someone told you that, and you went on and wrote letters and blasted them.
Heather Boss and Gary Barksfield drafted a libel and slander defamation piece against me.
I'm going to rephrase the question, perhaps.
Thank you.
Which is, I think many in this room, their concern is, when we leave this room, what is your plan moving forward on helping build up the party rather than attacking members of who are very involved within the party? Is that a fair?
I don't want to attack anyone in this party, but when a slander is being spoke on me, and I will tell you, at the Cleveland County Fair last summer, I volunteered for the GOP booth, and that's where Gary Barksdale told me his story of his criminal background and getting it expunged, and that's why he can teach at OU, came right out of his mouth to my face at the GOP table. There's other people in this room that can vouch for
him. She's bringing me
again. None of us.
I have every right to respond.
You do have a right to respond, Gary.
I will respond.
Okay.
That's an outright bold-faced lie, as much as the lie, all right, that she stated about Rachel, all right? This is what Kendra brought up. This woman was
slandering. I didn't say Rachel's name.
Kendra brought up her allusion to other people that weren't even present. She has doxed members as personal information from this committee. You know that, Dick. You know that. She doxed Rachel's number. She doxed my number. She doxed Heather's number. She doxed yours. Yours has a direct link from her little video of lies. Yours has a direct link to your phone number. She doxed. No, that's his personal phone number. She has doxed members in here. She has called members names. She calls you a liar. She says you're a brown noser. Right? She says that, on and on. I've got a whole stack. Last time I didn't come with receipts, I've got receipts right here. Now, I would like to ask the chairman, since she brought it up, all right, she brought up all this, you know, her high and worthy Christianity and wanting to bring her kids. Is the kind of language that she spews here worthy of a child? Is the kind of stuff, this vitriol, worthy of what she claims to be? And I'm not here to pass judgment. I ain't God. But I will tell you this. This isn't fruit. This isn't good fruit. This is not good fruit.
Gail is recognized next. I will get to
you. You know, we can go around the circle here. I believe Carrie is pro-life. And everything's not black and white. And if we start saying that you have to follow this rule, rule one, rule this, it's not black and white. We have become the Democratic Party or a cult, one of the two. Mm-hmm. This is wrong, completely wrong. And Gary, you said right up to me in front there in the lobby,
that Carrie was a B. And then you said, no, I'll just say it. She's a bitch. And you said it right to my face.
This.
Oh, she's a liar too, huh?
This and, right here?
Yeah, Carrie.
So we can go all and around, but if somebody, if one of my granddaughters, one of my sisters, nieces, whatever, got pregnant, to me it's not black and white. If it's, nobody's going to tell me what to do with my body. If it really came down to a situation, this is not right. That we're not a Republican because we have, that we've chose to we were incest and we chose to eliminate a life. Come on now. We're a cult if that's what we become. We're nothing but, or the Democratic Party. That's it. I think Carrie is good for the, it would be good to reinstate.
Next up was
Dave.
It
is
Dave,
actually.
Okay, so I have two parts to this. So I guess the, and I'm not going to, I'm playing devil's advocate a bit. I guess we have to ask, what is a Republican? So we have our platform consisting of our points. And so the question has to be asked, if one person disagrees with one of the points, does that make them not a Republican? I think the answer is no, even though it may be the most important plank, or maybe the most agreed upon plank. So I'm not making a claim here. I'm actually presenting a question. What does a Republican make? What makes a Republican? I'm not sure of the answer, but it is certainly deserving of debate. So I'm going to throw that out there. I believe life begins at conception, the very moment of conception. And if you willingly kill that, I believe that's murder. I believe that. Period. So it doesn't matter if God forsake. I'm going to get blasted on faith. It doesn't matter their age. It matters whether we're going to, who's going to kill a life. Who can kill a life? God knew us before we were formed in the womb. So we're going to kill one of those people that He knew. That's my personal opinion. I'm not saying in order to be Republican you have to share that, but I am saying it worthy of debate. But because we're not talking about salvation or all these other religious considerations, we're talking about one of the two major political parties. There's a wide, both of them are big tents, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that needs to be considered. I know a lot of people that I consider good people, but man, I just don't agree with them on a lot of stuff, right? So maybe they still fall under that. Maybe we fall under the same umbrella as good people. Who knows? Anyhow, the second thing is I have a question that I want asked and I want it answered. I was informed of an accusation or a description of Pastor JT, James Taylor, that was in the very negative. By Carrie, I want to know what she said, when she said it, why she would have said it. I want to know that.
I will let Carrie respond to that first, since the question was posed to her on what she said about
James
Taylor.
I don't know
Taylor.
Who that is, so it must have been my husband that posted it. Sorry.
On.
And he's not your chair, so.
The chairman recognizes Gary.
Carrie Rail, or Josh Carrie Rail. Because I'm finding it difficult to believe that Josh has any familiarity with JT, made a statement.
Why would that
and
be?
I would actually find that statement.
He has the floor.
I have the floor. Mr. Chairman, you start ruling people out of order. But and don't apologize for it either.
I didn't apologize this time.
Anyhow, what I'm getting at here is this, right? She made a statement on Facebook where Dr. James Taylor had inappropriate non-consensual sex with his clients. I called her out on that, and it's on our record that I called her out on that. And you people in here that are privy to this, you know that happened, right? I called her out on it. I called her out on it at the same time that I called out the affidavit. If you remember, the affidavit happened. So yes, David, that statement was made, and that implication that Dr. James Taylor was having inappropriate sexual relations with clients as he was a psychologist. And then I confronted her on that on the Facebook page. So yes, it's true. And I will find that, I promise you. I've got screenshots.
Susie is recognized.
And then I'll go after
that. I've got screenshots.
Oh, I just wanted to mention one thing in Carrie's defense. The past couple of weeks since our last meeting, I did a lot of phone calls with friends of mine asking how they felt about the abortion issue. Practically all of them who are registered Republicans believe in abortion for some reasons. Then we started talking about the morning after pill. I'm talking about 24 women that I talked to that said, well, if my daughter was raped, I would give her the morning after pill. I don't care whether it's an abortion. The morning after pill, people, is not an abortion pill.
Yes.
We need to change that.
We need
but instead of hammering people and talking to them like calling them snakes in the grass. I'm sorry, I can't talk very well.
It's fine.
Snakes in the grass. I would say, let's get to these people. And you would be surprised when I talked to some of these women and I said, the morning after pill is not an abortion pill.
Okay.
It's not? No. Well, what is it? It prevents ovulation. Mm-hmm. There's never any conception taking place. However, I know some people whose religious beliefs, more information than you wanted to know 50 years ago when I had a temple legation, one of my friends, I can't believe you did that. She was Roman Catholic, and I said, why? God says be fruitful and multiply. I have, twice. She wouldn't speak to me anymore because of that. But what I'm concerned here as far as fitness for a chair goes, what's our First Amendment? What is it, people? Freedom of religion. That's the very first thing. Why do you think they put that the very first thing? What I'm concerned about here is not whether Mrs. Rail believes in abortion or not, or part of the time. I'm concerned about her trying to prevent other people's First Amendment rights. I have an email here. This was after we had nominated Heather Boss as legislative chair. And in this email, Carrie responds, I like Heather, she's a great woman. I will not back her politically. Who of you are without sin? Cast the first stone. She goes on to say, who is she referring to, Heather Boss? Who is she to decide? She's an American citizen, that's her First Amendment right. I don't agree with everything that Heather says. I don't agree with everything she believes. But one thing I do believe in is the U.S. Constitution. And if we get rid of freedom of religion, freedom of speech, Terry has a right to talk about abortion, to be against it or for it in some cases. But this is what concerns me. Also, on several occasions, Terry made biblical put-downs of people, freedom of religion. In fact, she said in one text message, referring to Heather Boss, she can keep doing the devil's work under the guise of a pulpit. These people are Pharisees, the Bible speaks of, snakes in the grass. She calls for mercy, but yet she herself is not willing to give mercy.
Very quiet.
Be quiet. She quotes from scriptures, but yet she is unwilling to forgive other people for their transgressions. I've got a scripture to quote from too, Luke 15:7. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Gary has repented. I've accepted his repentance. It doesn't matter because God has said, why are these messages made? And Gary made a comment. This is when Richard and Gary had a thing going on Facebook about the Standridges. And it was one of them said, we're going to get to the truth of this matter. I didn't like Gary's comment. I thought it was unprofessional where he said, if you want to know the truth, do not ask Terry Rail. I thought that was very unprofessional. I told Gary what I think about it. But Carrie's response was, if you want to know the truth, ask Gary about his former criminal background and his lover. I thought that was vile and vindictive. Mm-hmm. You can laugh about it, but you keep quoting these scriptures, and I'll quote some too. For fitness for the chair, I don't know. Another incident came up in the Cleveland County Republican Women. I opened our meeting just like you did. We'll follow parliamentary procedure. If you get out of line, I'm going to call you out. I'm going to call you out of order. If you continue to do it, you're going to leave the room. She says, well, just because people don't agree with you, you're making them leave. No, 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 no. I don't care what they say. They have to follow parliamentary procedure. They have to raise their hand and be recognized. I've been to meetings where members argue with each other. We had a member that dropped out because one of our other members, actually had more than one member. One of our members started a argument with Mark Wayne Mullen when he was running for the Senate. Lachelle called her out of order. Mr. Mullen himself says, no, 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 I want to hear her talk, let her talk. She continued to insult him. Lachelle called, okay, stop this, you're out of order, stop. We had a couple of members drop out. You should have done something. She did. She called the member out of order. They still didn't accept it. People do not want to come to our meetings and hear people argue. That's what parliamentary procedure is about. And right after, Carrie said that, well, just because you don't like what they say, they go, no, 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 that's not it. We had a meeting about parliamentary procedure. Why we called a member out of order. Not because of what they said, but because they didn't raise their hand to be recognized. Now, that's my take on it.
This member she's talking about is not me. I wasn't around when this happened, so I don't know who this member is.
I'm not done. But at any rate, I want you to know that I called Senator Weaver.
Senator Mullen.
Senator Mullen.
No, Senator Weaver's office about the bill he had. I was not in favor of it. I called to tell him my displeasure of it. I didn't like that either, convicting a teenager or anybody of murder when they had been raped. But we won't solve this abortion problem. It's never been solved. We're not going to solve it here. Thank you.
Chair is going to recognize Bruce because his hand has been up for a very long time.
And then Maggie.
And then Maggie.
Thank you, well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. What we have is, if we have an officer in the GOP, Cleveland County, we expect them to follow the platform. I know Republicans that are pro-abortion. I know Republicans that are don't support abortion. Don't support the after morning bill. We have a wide spectrum of people, but we have a platform that states exactly what we stand for as an organization. And so we have to make that decision. What I'm finding, and this is discouraging, is the amount of negative banter that's going on here. So I'm trying to get past the negative banter and say, we have a platform. Is this particular precinct chair upholding that platform? That's her responsibility. It's the responsibility of every precinct chair to uphold that platform as stated, not only at the state level, but also at the county level. And so what I was represented on June 2nd was that the precinct chair was not upholding either the Cleveland County platform or the state platform. I think that's what our decision is on, is she publicly going out within the media, and this can be Facebook or anything else, and is she representing us, but not what we have in our platform? And so I think that's what we have to decide, because she's an officer, or was an officer. She's trying to get back in. But the question of it is, does this particular precinct chair stand with the platform? And there's other things that are coming out that would say, are there individuals here that just don't function in an organization?
Somebody can be just toxic.
Somebody can be just toxic, which is not something we've considered before, but from listening to this, this is causing quite a destabilization within our group. And so what we have to ask is, do we have somebody that's just too toxic? And do we have somebody that's not following the platform?
Okay, one quick thing from me before we move on, which will be Meg, because Maggie has had her hand for quite some time, and then Diane. I just want to say, we seem to are going in a little bit of circles here. This is a motion on whether or not we feel confident in her ability to discharge the duties as precinct officer. Try to make any remaining points a bit short, succinct, and to that point so that we can actually vote on this, because I do not believe we are going to solve abortion in this room tonight. The chair recognizes Maggie.
Okay, so I want to try to kind of wrap up a little bit of what we've all been saying. There's a difference between rights and responsibilities. When I was a vice president of Sonic and I went down and took over the Dallas market, all the managers, because they were part owners, wanted to work 11 to 2 every day, whether they needed to or not. And that was their right. I explained to them, my right as a majority partner was to buy them out and put a new person in. So when we talk about our First Amendment rights, everyone's all going off about, I have the right to say this, the right to say that. If you are an officer, if you are in the exec committee, if you report to somebody else, you lost that right. And the picture of that is those pilots that went and bombed Iran, okay, they regularly would just leave their family for 3 or 4 days at a time. Families never knew what was going on. Their families didn't know that they were the pilots flying those V-2s until it made the news. And they couldn't tell their family goodbye. They did not. They could have said, oh, I have the First Amendment right. I'm putting it on Facebook. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. We need to get off of that, because they had a responsibility to the U.S. government and to protect every American in this room in order to keep their mouth shut. So one thing that I will push for at the end of all this when it's settled is every time we change a chair, we need to have a list of what our rules are. I can tell you, I copied off the platforms. I became a Republican in 81. What's on here for our platforms is not what I agreed to back then in any way, shape, or form. It's totally changed and totally become nitpicky to the point that sometimes it is, like Dave said, we come across as a cult. We come across as a tent. My sister, I brought my sister to the Republican Party. She's had an abortion. Her daughter had an abortion. Okay? Do I tell them, oh, sorry, you can't be a Republican now? If that's the rule, when I signed up to be a Republican, y'all should have given me this paper and said, you believe it or you can't do it. Okay? So we need to be conscious and have grace and have mercy in our life. And we need to be responsible, those people that are saying things that they shouldn't be saying. But going forward, we as a group, this is very volatile. We need to be stating, these are the consequences. When we have our next precinct gathering to elect precinct chairs, we need someone up there that goes through the rules and the platform. It says, this is them. If you're becoming a precinct chair, this is what you have to do, and these are the consequences. Because I don't think it's fair that we just pick someone to the curb because they didn't know the consequences. And maybe they were too vocal. Sorry, but I haven't seen all the stuff. I stay out of it, but from what I gather, probably so. Because you had your First Amendment right in your mind, but you had a responsibility that was bigger because you're an officer. So as far as being a precinct chair, it appears to me she is doing that part of her job.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Parliamentary inquiry. Do all members have a single ballot?
Everybody got a ballot?
There's like several of them back here.
Oh, okay. That's where they stop. Yeah.
All right. One needs to go to Lachelle.
One per person?
Yeah, yes. One per person. That's where they stop. I didn't realize it.
Diana's recognized.
Thank you, Chairman. This is just a statement. Or it may be a question.
Can you speak a little louder, please?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, I feel, in my opinion, what happens here needs to stay here. Are we liable to keep whatever sits that is being held in this room is to be sealed? You know, I'm just wondering.
There's no chance.
Yeah,
are individuals going to be going immediately get on Facebook and discuss this and this and this?
Yeah, the expectation is that things said in executive session stay in executive session. It's not going to happen, but that's the expectation. The chair recognizes John Roberts.
I've got a statement and then a motion. At the end of the day, I think this boils down to a personality conflict between a couple of people that is not going to be resolved tonight, no matter how we vote. Which is unfortunate. I don't know you, never had coffee with you, have no knowledge of your personality or anything else. I hope you don't take offense to my saying that. But it strikes me that this is a personality conflict at large. And having been a part of the party for nearly 30 years, it gives me pause that we're going to start doing a litmus test at the precinct level where we have the most trouble trying to get people in. I've disagreed with Dave. Dave's disagreed with me. We've done so loudly, both in volume and rhetoric. And at the end of the day, we can go get a cup of coffee. Because the fight's the fight, and then we agree on more than we disagree on at the end of the day. And I hope that at least the majority of this body going forward after this vote will be able to do that as well. And those that can't will strive to learn how to. With that said, I don't think that there's anything more that can be said that would be in any way constructive, and therefore I move the previous question.
There's a question be checked and recognized by the chair.
There's a motion on the floor. Gary,
what? Seconded.
I seconded it before you did that.
There was a motion. It was seconded. So the motion is...
Point of inquiry?
Yes.
Are we absolutely a body that is required to adhere to Robert's rules, or are we an advisory committee that can be ran informally at the behest of the chair, in which case the call to question is not necessarily have the strength that it does under absolute Robert's rules.
So while the executive committee is an advisory committee, this is actually an explicitly listed function of it in the rules. Like, this vote isn't an advice to the chair. Removing a precinct chair is not advising the chair. It is a decision that the body makes.
I thought you said earlier that we would be advising
this
you
would
to
be,
do this.
This would be advising me to reinstate, yes, because it's not clear.
Then
the appeals are not
stands.
Clearly.
So in opposition to John's, here's my problem. I don't like it when people are told they can't talk. I don't like that. I like to finish it. If we got dinner waiting at home or the game's playing, I'm going to miss dinner and I'm going to miss the game. That's where I come down. Love John. He made statements just now that were very true, and I disagree with him on this. I don't like to call the question in an informal meeting when we have respected individuals that need to be heard. And I think it's your decision to make the call, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, I noticed one of the problems that we've got here is the lack of following parliamentary procedures. If somebody makes a motion, the chair restates the motion, and then they call for a second. Michelle was out of order when she said, "I second the motion," because she had not been recognized by the chair. So I suggested you.
Very well. Gary is recognized.
Mr. Chairman, how much longer are we going to circle the wagons on this?
Exactly. What Bruce stated is very valid. What Kendra stated. Very valid. what Susie stated is very valid, what everybody stated is very valid, what John stated about us having different opinions is very valid. It's not the differing opinion. And we debated this, if you'll recall, for better than half an hour last month because people were confusing it with the First Amendment restriction. It has nothing to do with the First Amendment restriction. We're not telling anybody what to say. We're not telling anybody what to say. What we are saying is if you come out publicly and make this type of vitriolic, spiteful statements in public about one of our foundational principles, and then on top of that, let's see, call Gusty Deaver a criminal. She said that John Echols was a felon. She said that John Echols was under FBI investigation. You got that text? I got that text? Several of us got that. It's right there. She claimed that these statements that I showed you all, right? These aren't about me. This is about vitriolic responses to disagreement. She claimed a moment ago, she just claimed it in front of everybody, that those statements were made on a Facebook page that belonged to her husband. I would ask the chairman to please read that at the bottom. Please, Mr. Chairman, read that. She stated that the statements that I showed everybody were her husband's. Now I would ask that you read that, Mr. Chairman, out loud.
My Facebook is Josh Carey Rail.
That's exactly right. She admitted that is her Facebook page, people. She's responsible for all that vitriol, not her husband.
I know. Is there any further debate, Bruce?
I just want to make one statement. I know there was a statement over in this part of the room that if you've had an abortion, you can't be a Republican. And that we're not merciful. But actually, I know several people who have had abortions and now are pro-life. And we welcome them into the Republican Party. And so we're very merciful. We understand people make mistakes. They're definitely welcomed in here, even if they have had an abortion, as long as they want to go by our plan. And they may not go by the entire plan. But it would seem like that some people were saying, well, if you had an abortion, you can't be a Republican. So I needed to.
Thank you for that clarification. Melinda is next.
I think what we have here is we are going to vote whether she deserves to be the precinct chair.
Correct. Yes.
We are getting confused with all of this other stuff. And from here on out, whatever the vote is, I would caution everybody. Watch what you put on social media. Watch what you say about your fellow Republicans. That's the whole problem we have here.
Mm-hmm. I'd just like to know if you feel like how you handle this situation is good and correct.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
How you've handled this situation, is it?
If I feel like it's good and correct, absolutely. I went straight to my legislators at the Capitol, and they said, go to the news. They sent me attorneys.
So
I've had counsel here. Absolutely. There is libel and slander and defamation. Absolutely.
So all the statements that have been brought tonight, you...
I am pro-life.
You feel like those are correct?
Absolutely. That have been against me?
You feel good about the way you presented them?
No, I haven't really been given the option. I've been attacked over and over, including my husband.
You're talking about on social media
the
and
social
through
media
text messages.
Through me, yeah.
You're
this is what I do.
All that.
This is what brought this.
Okay.
I represent a medical group of over 2,000 independent doctors in the state. I work at the Capitol. Dusty Deavers, we asked him to sit down and compromise on the bill to exclude the morning after pill. Rachel at Dunkin' Donuts, we sat for 2 hours asking for a compromise. And she said, no, if Dusty compromises on this bill, they will fire him as the preacher in Elgin.
Yeah.
And so he cannot compromise. A week later, the censure happened.
That's not why he's not compromising here.
Okay, and then
a week later, from the meeting with Rachel, the censure happened.
So in the future, do you plan to continue to respond the same way on Facebook and in text messaging when you have confrontation?
Politically?
Mm-hmm. Personally, politically?
Period.
I think
so you feel as a precinct chair, you get to dictate who I talk to on Facebook and how I
can. Can
you clarify the question?
Yeah, I'm confused because my father, my husband.
Do you plan when you have any kind of confrontation like you had with Gary in the future? Do you plan to respond and the same way on social media and in text message?
Not on social. Text message was private. That was a private conversation with Gary.
So yes, in text message you would still do that?
No, I would pick my words different. But I think a conversation between Gary and I should be had, just like I sat down with Rachel very respectfully at Dunkin' Donuts for 2 hours.
Mr. Chairman, she's referencing Rachel again, and Rachel's not here.
She isn't a voting member.
Mr. Chairman, point of order, there's a motion on the floor.
Second.
There is a motion and a second. Let's move forward.
The motion is to call to a vote.
All those in favor of closing debate and moving to a vote, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right. So
can
we,
I say something?
No. Unless this is an informal group that just won't allow comment, which I've stated about 19 times.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman.
It's just a statement. We could be more.
Okay. Please make it fast.
That we can beat a dead horse to death. I feel that we need to move on.
That's what we're doing.
Okay, that is what we are doing. All right, the motion on the floor. We are voting on whether or not to reinstate Gary Rail as a priest, or to recommend to the chair to re. Yes, Gary.
The motion is a redress of a previous issue.
No,
we've already voted on the redress.
That's what we've been doing.
The motion on the floor is whether or not the body will recommend that Gary Rail be reinstated as a precinct chair. If you are in favor of reinstating Gary as a precinct chair, you will vote yes. If you are in favor of keeping her, of not having her serve as a precinct chair, you will vote no. Everyone good on that?
Yeah.
Yes, she's hired. No, she's fired.
Please fold your ballots.
Okay, now, I'm so sorry. A yes is to reinstate.
Yes is to hire. No is to fire.
What is the attendance vote? The total number in attendance? 23. Thank you.
Which is an odd number.
Is that counting the chairman?
The chairman and the vice chairman both voted.
Has everyone voted?
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Barksdale.
As Mr. Parker pointed out earlier, whenever we are in executive session, right, during the vote, only executive committee members are present in the room. Is that not correct?
Technically, Carrie, you do have to step out.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Gary, for that reminder.
The door won't close.